With both Lunar Orbiter 1 and 2, our prime objective was to photograph various pre-selected lunar areas to assess their suitability as landing sites for the unmanned Surveyor and the manned Apollo spacecraft. We were fortunate in both of these missions being quite successful, and they returned a significant amount of information about the selected areas. With Orbiter 1, in spite of the fact that one of the cameras didn't work properly all the time, we obtained pictures of 9 areas, totaling some 16,000 square miles, in which the smallest object that can be seen is about 8 to 10 yards in size. This is significant when you appreciate the fact that this is about 100 times better than we were able to see with Earth-based telescopes. So it was a significant step toward delineating the relative roughness of the various terrain types. Now, with Orbiter 2, the camera system worked perfectly and returned photographs of 13 other areas near the moon's equator, which we felt offered the greatest potential for the first manned landings. The quality of the highest resolution photographs is such that objects 2 to 3 feet in size can be distinguished. Of the 22 areas we inspected with these two missions, some 10 are considered to have sufficient merit for a detailed analysis. I think in summary, we can say that the data returned by these first two missions have greatly increased our confidence that we will be able to find a number of specific landing sites for the first men to the moon. The mission of Lunar Orbiter 3 is very similar to those of the first two. The prime photography will still be concentrated in a fairly small area on the moon's equator, but there is one important difference. We term the first two site search missions. Now, we've learned enough from them and from the Surveyor 1 landing that we're able to plan Mission 3 in a much more intelligent manner, and we term it a site confirmation mission. The difference is that the first two missions enabled us to reject a number of areas on the moon that are definitely unsuitable. With Mission 3, we'll be able to concentrate on the type of terrain and locations that we have confidence offers the highest potential for the landing spacecraft. Now, all of these first three missions have as secondary objectives the obtaining of information about the moon's gravitational field and also to measure the micrometeoroid and radiation environment in the vicinity of the moon. For Mission 3, we've added an important additional secondary objective, which is to provide a spacecraft that can be tracked by the Apollo stations, which are just now coming into operations, in order that they may evaluate their entire tracking network and also certain aspects of their operational control center. This is very important because the first Apollo mission to the moon and an orbit about the moon will be very similar to that which is flown by Lunar Orbiter. Lunar Orbiter 3 has exactly the same kind of camera system that was carried on the first two flights. It will be utilized in a very similar manner with the prime purpose of obtaining high-resolution photography of specific selected sites for the manned landings. Now, the design of our camera system is such that every few hours we must move the film in order to avoid certain problems that might develop if the film were left stationary for a long period of time. If the spacecraft is not over an Apollo area, we generally take one photograph of what might be termed a target of opportunity. We're very pleased with the results of the first two missions, with how valuable these secondary photographs have actually been. They've been used to photograph much of the hidden side of the moon, for example. With Orbiter 1, an historic photograph of the Earth from around the edge of the moon was taken. With Orbiter 2, one was used for the shot of Copernicus that someone termed the photograph of the century. I think the reason that people feel this was quite spectacular is the fact that for the first time the average layman can relate a lunar scene to certain similar areas on the Earth. Now, on Mission 3, we have budgeted photography of this type for some 35 areas. These plans must remain tentative until the mission is actually flown. The number 35 is a maximum possible if everything is working perfectly in the spacecraft and on the ground throughout the mission. In terms of priority, such photographs are secondary to our prime mission, but we try to make them as useful as possible. Our purpose from the beginning was to find safe landing areas for men. Today, even after two successful missions, the third must still concentrate on this job, and perhaps the fourth and fifth also. We really won't know until the third mission has been flown and the data analyzed. Now, suppose we are able to complete the Apollo requirements and still have a spacecraft or two left over. This would provide us with the happy kind of problem. We have been forced with the first three missions to concentrate on the area around the equator, since this is where the first men will land. There's a tremendous amount of the moon's surface that we have had no opportunity to take a look at. A group of our scientists who are experts on the lunar surface have enumerated over 400 specific areas that they consider to be of high scientific interest. If we were to place a spacecraft in a polar orbit, we would be able to photograph a substantial number of these. In another mode of operation that we have been looking into, we could fly a mapping mission. That is, we could obtain complete coverage over some 80% of the front face of the moon at a resolution 10 times better than can be seen from Earth. Either of these two examples, and there are numerous others, would make a major contribution to our scientific understanding of the moon. Perhaps more important, either would provide a framework on which to base major decisions concerning our country's total lunar exploration programs after the first man landing. In any event, as I see it, if Apollo requirements are met before our program is over, our problem will not be to find something worth doing with remaining spacecraft, but rather to choose the most important missions of the many that are feasible.